Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, to get started on this Stewardship Sunday, I offer this poem. 'Twas a very weird Sunday, and I just couldn't sleep. I tried counting blessings. I tried counting nativity sheep. The holiday eating and parties were a-comin', but our stewardship drive, my mind was a-hummin'. Tossing and turning with pledge card anticipation, the thought of a ministry budget became an infatuation. So I raced to my Bible, flung it open to the Gospel 4, gazed at the pages telling of commitment to the poor, gobbled up theology all in plain sight and not the ads on TV, which are a terrible fright. I felt God was talking, speaking to you and me. God's grace was pouring out for all to hear and see. A weird Sunday it is, so opportunities abound to lift folks' spirit high off of the ground. Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, it is not, but pledging a gift for a mission for what is preached and taught. I hope I model and manage in this Sunday that is weird an attitude of abundant grace and one that is not feared. I hope your commitment of time, talent, and treasure reflects the true you on how God made and wants stewards that are true. May we share God's justice, grace, and inclusiveness before this world, well, becomes more of a mess. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Remember to tip your waitstaff. It is a weird Sunday. It's before Thanksgiving, but it's not a Thanksgiving Day service. It's not Advent, so it's too early to talk about the preparing of the coming of the Christ child. And it's most certainly too soon to talk about wise guys following a star or how Mary and Joseph had to become refugees and flee for their very lives as innocent children were being slaughtered. So what are we to do with this conundrum? Well, in the liturgical church, it's officially called the Reign of Christ Sunday. That sounds impressive, the Reign of Christ Sunday. But for us, it's also the Stewardship Commitment Sunday. We're asking folks to turn in a pledge card if they have not already done so. So thank you to all who already have. And if you need one, there are ones in the narthex, and you can turn it in anytime this week. We give thanks also this day for clergy who have served and continue to serve in so many categories. Now, an entire year's worth of a stewardship sermons would be incomplete, an incomplete explanation of God's calling for us. Today, in this stewardship sermon, I want to bring us back to our calling, back to who we are at our core, our calling of social justice, of being grace givers, and how we provide an extravagant welcome. That's who we are at our core. I see God's justice woven throughout our life at the Palms. I see it in our fight for marriage equality and honoring same-gender marriages and relationships as we do different gender relationships. Let me bring to light three other ministries that I think support the premise that social justice is at our core. First, I see it in our work with the Heart Pantry. That helps homeless kids in Peoria. Our Mission and Outreach Board is going to be expanding our mission with them. They're proposing some exciting ministries. Now, when kids that we know graduate from high school, maybe grandkids, great-grandkids, we send a card. And what do we put in that card often? Some cash, a check, money, right? These homeless kids don't have that. So our outreach and ministry board, well, they want to sponsor it so that anyone who gets a GED or a high school graduation, who graduates from high school, does get a card and does have a gift card in that. Plus, we're asking people to bring toiletry items, items in sample size so people can put them in their pocket and carry with them. You know, the soaps, the shampoos and such. There's a wonderful display that Debbie put together out in the narthex that will explain some of that. Do that in the next couple weeks. Second, I want to bring to light our ministry with New Life. It's also expanding. They provide shelter, counseling, and other services to assist victims of domestic violence and their families build a sustainable, violence-free life. It's one of the most important ministries that we do here. Again, our Mission and Outreach Board is sponsoring a baby shower in December, every Sunday. You'll be given a list of what will families need for babies. Now, just think of all the possibilities here, folks. You go to the grocery store, you buy one of those ginormous packages of diapers. You go to the counter. The cashier says, oh, you're buying some for your grandkids or great-grandkids, and you just simply say, no. I've been reading Genesis, and I've read about Abraham and Sarah. Just leave it at that. The last one of these ministries I want to mention briefly is that we partner with Shadow Rock UCC to sponsor Solutions Church. That's a church that serves primarily African refugees who have relocated right here in Phoenix. Refugees are the poorest of the poor. When you make a pledge, you help make sure your church reaches out to help the least of these. God's justice is about helping people who are powerless, giving them a voice. Howard Thurman was a prominent African-American author, theologian, educator, and civil rights leader. He wrote a poem entitled, "I Will Light Candles This Christmas." It was later turned into a hymn. We sang it last week, and we will sing it as much as any other hymn because it captures the church's mission. His poem reads, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart." That's why I say this church is the opposite of Vegas. What goes on here in this very room doesn't stay here. It goes out. God's grace is large, my friends. It's abundant to reach around the world and embrace everyone. Everyone, everyone. Whoa, wait. What about those people? Yes, they are included in God's grace. Well, but how about yes to them too? God's grace embraces the peacemakers and those who sow chaos, the victim and the perpetrator. And God's grace is large enough even for you and for me. And while God's grace is more abundant and bigger than you and I can imagine, God's grace is also small enough to reach the cracks and the crevices of the moments you and I have and live every single day. A couple years ago, my mom was in an automobile accident in the morning. And I was grateful that she was okay and the other driver was okay. But we spent the day, Wendy and I, at the hospital dealing with that situation. I was grateful that Wendy and I both worked at places where we could literally drop what we were doing and attend to family needs. The grace shown by our coworkers and our employers was amazing. It was a Monday when that happened, and it was a long, long day. When I finally arrived home after that exhausting day, the house phone rang. We didn't have an answering machine, so it needed to be answered in case it was an emergency. And Wendy and I both turned and looked at each other and gave that, "Oh, please, you answer it. Please, you answer it," look. She won. I lost. I had to answer the phone. Caller ID gave me that it was an out-of-state number. But with so many people keeping their cell phone numbers, it's not uncommon for out-of-state area codes to really be a local call. Could be a solicitor, though. My patience was fried. It was a former parishioner of mine from the 1990s. We hadn't spoken in almost two decades. Now, he was in his 90s at that point, and he had a very thick accent. And he said, "I was looking through an old church directory. I saw your name, and something told me I had to call you today, laddie." Now, he didn't have an accurate number for me, because the number from two decades ago wasn't accurate. But he called someone else in the congregation. But she didn't have it either, but she thought someone else might have the accurate number, and they did. He went on to say the nicest thing. And don't you know, I needed to hear those kind words on that hard day. A small act of kindness had an abundant, grace-filled impact. That's what the church is all about. What we do doesn't stop within these four walls of this building. It reaches across different ages, cultures. It reaches across decades and miles. That pebble hitting the water has ripples. It goes throughout the years. I see God's abundant grace woven throughout our lives here. A harsh word exchanged for a kind one. An act of reconciliation and forgiveness instead of an act of revenge. People sitting down and talking and listening to learn rather than listening to refute. God's grace is so big, so abundant enough to cover our tough stuff, but also small enough to reach the things that push our buttons. God's inclusiveness is an important part of what we do and are here at the Palms. It means more than just people who are in the LGBTQ community. It includes them, but it also includes anyone and everyone who has ever felt like an outsider. One of the family stories that Wendy tells us about her grandpa, and he was a great guy. He dropped out of high school to support his family in the Great Depression. And Wendy's grandpa was one of the soldiers who helped open up the Nazi concentration camps as the U.S. moved into Germany during end of World War II. Didn't talk much about that experience, and I don't blame him at all. Well, after the war, he and his wife and their daughter, who was Wendy's mom, settled in a small town in Indiana. Now, Wendy's mom tells the story that a Jewish doctor and his family, who had fled persecution during the war, moved into that little town. And the good Christian community was shocked and, in effect, shunned them. It was a Christian town, not a Jewish town. And town meetings were held. That approach didn't sit well with Wendy's grandpa. It risked his life. Now, he was only a C and E Christian, meaning he only went to church Christmas and Easter, right? He was not a regular church-going Christian, but he knew something about social justice, about grace, about inclusiveness that those good church-going folks didn't. He knew enough that you just can't talk about stuff like this. You got to do something. And he did. He got his family dressed in their Sunday best clothes to show respect, because that's what you did back then, to show respect. You got dressed in your Sunday best clothes. It was the middle of the week. They walked through town right up to where that new doctor and his family lived. And he knocked on the door. And he extended his hand and said just one word. Welcome. And don't you know that family needed to hear that? And the two families became friends. And the daughters became friends and grew up together. Because that's what God's inclusiveness is all about. It reaches beyond our particular culture, our particular faith, with a welcome that is genuine and heartfelt. God's message of welcome, of grace, of justice doesn't just stay here. It goes where we work, where we live, where we shop, where we are. We're the opposite of Vegas around here. We're the opposite of Vegas around here because the odds are in our favor. And what goes on here, God's justice, God's grace, God's welcome, doesn't stay here. It goes out with you and with me, and that's a very powerful thing for this community. And finally, some may say, wait a second, I thought this was supposed to be a stewardship sermon. Well, Wendy and I tithe to the UCC. We are here. We have our family here. We have raised our kids in a UCC congregation because all three of our children can and did learn to live God's justice, God's grace, and be grace givers, and be an extravagant welcome to all people. That's what stewardship is all about, sharing our gifts. And boy, have we been blessed with time, with talent, and yes, with treasure. Sharing our gifts, that's what it's all about. Thanks be to God. Amen.